This is a big day on the podcast.
Hello. Oh, you started?
Yeah.
How so?
It's a big day on the podcast because as we're recording this, it's Sunday night, 29
December
2019.
29 December. You're so British.
Just pretentious.
I didn't say that. I said British.
Tomorrow is Thomas's birthday, everybody. It's
I was born.
Thomas was born. That's the very first. That's the very like first sentence of the Charles Dickens book, David Copperfield.
I was born.
I was born. Yeah.
Huh. I've never
it's
read
the name of the first chapter.
I may need to.
It's a great book. One of the best stories ever.
The current book I'm audible in right now. It's gonna be a while.
What is it?
It's called A History of the Church in Modern Language.
Oh wow.
It's 22 hours long.
Is it so boring?
No, it's incredible. It's incredible.
Okay.
I've loved it. I'm like six chapters in, but it's incredible. Sorry. I just got to Constantine. It's really cool. Sorry.
Yeah, no. Tomorrow's Thomas's birthday. And I, you know, one of the things that we talk about a lot on this show is how much we appreciate y'all's feedback. And y'all are just really kind to us. And that's a really cool thing. Here's the deal. I think everybody that has a way to contact Thomas should wish him a happy birthday.
Hello, doctor.
Are you going to pass out right here?
No, I'm just kidding.
You're choking. You should contact Thomas in some way and tell him a retroactive happy birthday. As you're listening to the show, his birthday's already happened. But you should still, like, if DM him or text him or something. And the reason is because Thomas's birthday is 5 days away from Christmas. Because of that, he's basically never gotten a really good birthday in his whole life.
I mean, y'all have heard me say I'm not like a big birthday guy.
There's a reason, though. There's a reason for
that.
Yeah,
I've never been. I don't know what a big birthday is.
You've
like.
Never been celebrated.
That's so funny.
If you had been given like big birthday bashes in your life, you would be such a birthday guy.
Maybe.
Because you love like giving gifts and getting receiving thoughtful gifts.
Yeah, I really do. I like that.
It makes
I like
you happy.
Giving thoughtful gifts. I honestly just like winning gifts. That's so bad.
You like winning gift giving.
I like it's in the middle of Christmas looking at my sisters and just winking because my dad got a really cool gift for me. That's what I like to do. It's so bad. It's so bad.
Your competitiveness rolls into that.
Like, you know what I got him this year for Christmas?
Say it out loud.
My dad's from Lake City, which is a small town in in Tennessee. Small town in Oak Ridge. Yeah. Yeah. And
They changed the name of your dad's small town.
He hates it. But I found this like really old map at an antique store of Lake City. And it was really cool. And then I found like a 120-year-old book about birds.
Did he love
to read. Oh, yeah, no doubt. Plus, we all went on a... We always go in on like a gift for our parents. And right. we got them AirPods. But then I was like, let me
you gotta step this up a little bit.
Yeah, but it was $6 altogether, all the things I got.
Is there any chance Lynn listens to this podcast? No chance.
No. There's no way.
Thomas would really love like a lot of celebration.
Hold on.
You should celebrate.
These words aren't coming out of my mouth, so just
I know, but I'm telling
understand
the people,
that, listeners.
I'm telling the people that you look, it's been 25 years, and we can pretty safely assume that tomorrow's going to be the same. For 25 years, basically, your birthday has just been smashed into Christmas so that it doesn't really exist.
It's fine. I'm okay with it. Jesus was born. That was more important.
Oh, my word.
Call my mom and tell her happy birthday because she was born on the same day.
Yeah, that's your mom's birthday present 25 years ago was you.
A C-section, a cesarean section. Don't look, we're going to cut your stomach open.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Here.
This kid's not coming and he's in danger. We got to get him out of there.
Here's a kid with the largest head of any.
it is giant.
Just his eyes alone and his lips alone.
Oh, there's a lot of weight up here. I have neck issues, and you know why.
She's too heavy.
Just because of your massive dome. Man.
If you want to get me a birthday present, give me a membership to a chiropractor. Just like pay for it for a year. Just like, here, Thomas, you never have to pay again.
Dude, what if a listener actually did that for you?
Sheesh. Well, if Donnie Sharp listens to this, which I think he does, he's going to be like,
"Yeah, you can't go to a chiropractor."
Just if I had my druthers, Donnie, it would be you. I need you to know that.
Oh, Donnie's amazing.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Donnie's changed my whole life in the past 2 months.
I know he has, and I'm thankful.
Yeah. I've been having issues where I haven't been able to sleep, and Donnie Sharp has totally changed my life. It's been great. Do you think Donnie listens to this show?
He hinted at it to me once.
Oh.
It was really sweet.
If he tells you happy birthday, you'll know. Whenever I go in there, I just find some reason to mess with Donnie about the Braves.
Oh, easy, man.
I don't do that to you.
Donnie, I'm on your team. We like the same teams.
Only do that to Donnie.
We like the same teams.
Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a podcast where we talk about scriptures and scriptures that we love and or that are kind of grabbing hold of us during the week. And I want to read something that I think is so, so kind from the end of the book of Isaiah, almost the very end. In Isaiah chapter 62, can I start today?
Sure, do whatever you want to do.
I have begun.
Yeah. It's not my birthday. So.
Oh, man.
I'm just kidding.
For your birthday.
All I wanted for my birthday was to go first this episode.
Sheesh.
Someone's listening for the first time and they're like, gosh, that guy's the worst. I just pictured them doing the,
they're not listening anymore. They've already changed.
I know. What's that? What's our comedians?
They're listening to the liturgists.
What's our, no, what, sorry. I've never listened to that. It's unfair of me to judge it. I've never once listened to it. What's that comedian we like?
It's a pretty random guy.
Blonde guy, kind of.
Jim Gaffigan?
Yeah. Gaffigan doing that.
Does his own
Why
heckling?
Does he do that voice? There he is again.
That's not funny.
That's what they're doing right now. Who is that guy? Why does he think he's special?
In Isaiah chapter 62, this is a really sweet thing. It says this at the end of this, the end of this chapter. The Lord has made proclamation to the ends of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your Savior comes. See, his reward is with him. And his recompense accompanies him. They will be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you will be called sought after, the city no longer deserted.
Wow.
It's really cool when you read this in the NIV, when it gets to that part where it says you will be called sought after, the S is capitalized and the A is capitalized.
Huh.
It's like sought after. It's like sought is your first name and after is your last name. Your new name is sought after. This is a really, I love when somebody's name gets changed in the Bible. It's one of my favorite things. I love that place in Revelation chapter 2 where you have the promise of like, there's a white stone with a new name, all of that kind of stuff, just because, and I think everybody can get on the same page with me on this, where you just like, it's like, I have that yearning for starting over. I need a place or a time where like everything's fresh and I get to start over again. I remember when we went to, college, one of the things that I found out was that some people had changed their name because they were like, I'm in college. Nobody knows me here. I can start over with a new name.
That's the most Gen X 90s thing that I've ever heard.
Some people do it. Okay. And so,
oh my gosh.
And I remember my friend,
that's so judgmental.
I had a friend named Dave in high school and he changed it. He changed his name when he, you know, like when he went to college or whatever. And, I remember when I went to Tennessee Tech in my junior year, I met this guy named Brian. And when he met me, he was like, can I call you Leroy? And I was like, sure. And he was like, just the weirdest, most wonderful guy ever. And so like, I wasn't offended by it or anything like that. Like I would never have liked the name Leroy, but this guy was just so cool and so much fun. And like, it instantaneously just felt like such a sweet thing. This guy was like, I'm going to call you something else. And, I love that idea. And the thing that's so cool about the way this verse is laid out is that it's not just that somebody's getting a new name in this verse, but that the Lord is saying, like, you used to be, it's almost like you used to be called deserted, like you were the one that was left. You were the one that nobody cared about or nobody wanted. And now your new name is going to be sought after. Hmm. Your new name is going to be the wanted one. Like, I am seeking after you and I want to know you and I want you in my life. It's like to have the Lord call you that to me is like, I don't know. It feels like I should just stop talking and everybody should just take some time and think about how amazing that is. Mm-hmm. That like the Lord is saying, you know what I call you? I call you the one I'm seeking. That's your new name from me is the one that's sought after. One thing I can tell you from, and you can attest to this too, because you and I have both worked with high school kids for a long, long time, is that like, there is nobody that doesn't want to be wanted. Yeah. That it's probably the thing that moves high school decisions more than any other thing is like, I will do whatever it takes if I'm wanted. It's what leads people into some of their biggest regrets. It's what leads people into the decisions they wish they could take back, to the moments where like, if you, like when you have that thought experiment of like, if you could erase 3 moments from your life, what would they be? And every single one of those for most people would revolve around the idea of like, I did that because I wanted to be wanted. Mm-hmm. Relationships that people get into just because it's not because they really love that person. They just want to be loved. They want to be desired. And that is such a, I don't know, it's such an irrepressible human emotion. Mm-hmm. Of like, I can't repress it. I want to be wanted. I could tell you that I don't need that, but it would be a lie. And everybody I know makes most of their decisions based around this thing. Does someone like me? Mm-hmm. If I say this thing, will that person think I'm funny? Right. If I do this, will somebody think I'm smart? If I do this, will somebody want me? Mm-hmm. And so to have like, just to have the God of the universe say, you will be called sought after, the city no longer deserted. That to me just feels like the kindest, sweetest thing ever.
Mm-hmm. I love all that. I think it's funny. The thing that stood out to me the most in this little bit is I think my favorite images of Jesus anywhere in scripture are in like images. I need to be careful with that because I don't know what it really looked like. So I'm being a little speculative, but I do like the idea. It says, see your Savior comes. And my favorite images of him are ones where he is moving with a group of people. And it's not, and that's just, I think that's where I'm at in life right now. But I love that. I love that it says, and his reward is with him. I think anytime Jesus was going somewhere and he was surrounded by people, I just imagine like, it's just a party around him and it's laughter and fun and kids are running circles in and out of people and people are clapping and singing. And I don't know why I think of that, but that's just the first thing that popped into my head when I saw this. And it says his reward is with him. And I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know what the word recompense means. So do you know what that is?
I'll have to look it up.
Okay. Cause
it's like what he's giving you. It's like it's another way to say reward.
Right.
But like,
right. I just thought of that as me. Like, I don't know if that's true or not, but it just felt like, I don't know.
He does then refer to the redeemed of the Lord, which
right.
is you. You
know? And I love the image of, I don't know. I hope that's what it's like. I love the idea of that being the case in our future and for eternity of just clapping and singing and dancing and little kids running around and
it says,
having a good time with the Lord.
It means to give something by way of compensation.
Right.
Okay. As for a service rendered or damage or hurt. We're actually on a dictionary on the podcast.
Right. I've never heard the word recompense in my life outside of reading that. So, and that's one of those where I'm just like, I'm going to glaze over that one. But I just like that. The thought of that, the thing that stood out to me about that part of Isaiah 62 is that it directed my eyes to heaven, and which is sweet. It's cool that you got one thing out of that. And for me, I'm just like, man, it just feels like it's getting closer, you know, and I'm looking forward to it more than I ever have.
Yeah.
But I'm also not at the same time because I'm 6 months away from marriage. So I'm like, let's just wait a little while.
Hold off a little
bit. Yeah. Like, but at the same time, I'm like, man, I don't know. I'm going to dive into this more in my part. So I'm going to be careful. But it's funny because I think of just where my mind is at, specifically in this conversation right now, because I know where I'm going with what I'm going to read. It just directed my eyes to heaven and it made me think of what that's going to be like. And, we don't know much about it, you know? But I get excited when I think about it and it encourages me. And I need to take more time in my life to think about my eternity, you know, because it's good. It's going to be good. And it makes the matters of this world, it makes them make sense in a way, you know. It's like, the reason this world sucks, one of it is because it's not heaven, thankfully. You know?
He's not sitting on the throne.
Exactly.
Yet,
yeah. So it's like, okay, that's helpful. And anyways, I'm going to get more into that. But
well, I love that, I don't know. Some of this feels like a prediction in the sense of like, when he comes, there's going to be this attitude of like, see, he's coming. And his reward is with him. That is so cool. It's like, in other words, like everything he promised, he's bringing it and it's happening. It's all happening. It's like everything we hoped in, it's all coming. You know, that is such an exciting. And
I love that you said the word promise and look, it's you know, like I had that thought this morning when I know we kind of did our like after Christmas thing last week. And like, and I talked a lot about the things that stood out to me. And another thing that's like jumped off the page at me since Christmas is over was just the thought. And I said this morning, so bear with me if you heard me say this at church, but I had this realization today that like, and it's like right after Christmas, that like that whole thing. And I've talked about this before on here too, but that whole thing was promise of the Lord. And he said he was going to do it and he did it, which is awesome. And it's like, I love being on this side of it and knowing that there are still promises he's going to fulfill and things that he's saying that are going to happen. And it's nice to be here and to say, he's done it. He's done it before. He's going to do it again. And I'm thankful that we have that stuff to look forward to. And like anything that points my mind to that right now has been really helpful.
Yeah.
Just like, hey, this place is temporary. You're going somewhere amazing. And that was super helpful for me right there out of Isaiah 62.
Yeah.
I'm going to look at a thing from Psalm 65 and, bear with me. It's not a ton of verses, but it's more than average. It's more than medium. It's medium verses. So I'm going to start in verse 9.
That's a pretty exact unit of measurement.
It's medium. Yeah. That's a thing for How Much Your Mother, by the way. So sorry.
I'm ready.
Psalm 65 verse 9. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing.
Wow, that's really lush.
Yeah, it's just, that's what it, yes, that's right.
Were you going to say lush? Did I take a word?
No, you didn't take it, but that's just a great definition of that. I just thought of all those things that the Lord's in charge of in our world. And like cares for and makes sure happens. And like, whether that's a conscious thought of his mind at this point, I don't know. I don't know how any of that works. Again, I have no idea. Right. But it like pushed me forward to the Sermon on the Mount where the Lord or Jesus talks about like, man, look at the birds. They're taken care of and they're fed and they're watered and they have a home and all this stuff. And aren't you more important than that? And then I think about all these things that are even more, it's like more of that. It's like more of things like that. Like, you know, the streams are filled with water. There's to provide grain for people, like all, you know, just like all kinds of stuff about the world. Your carts are overflowing. The grasslands overflow. The hills are clothed with glass. Like all the stuff that the Lord is in charge of. And then there's still like an asterisk. Like, aren't you more important than that? Like, doesn't he care about you more than that?
That's nice.
And that's helpful for me. And it did. It made me think about like this world. It does feel like, it just feels like we're getting close. And I said this a second ago, but we're getting closer and closer because so many of the things that are said of it, in the Gospels, like, is it, I don't remember if it's in Luke or it's in Matthew where the Lord's talking about, or Jesus is talking about like, hey, these are signs of what's going to come. Like,
right.
The earth's going to like cry out and like, there's going to be earthquakes and stuff and stuff. And it's like, wow, that stuff's happening like all around us. And like, it has for a long time, but it feels like it's more and more, and whether it is or not, or it's just the way the world is and we can see more of it, I don't know. But it does feel like we're just getting closer and closer to him coming back. And in a world right now that feels like is deteriorating and things are falling apart, whether it's like physical or, you know, like actually the earth falling apart and like glaciers dissolving and like, you know, seas rising and temperatures rising and earthquakes and tsunamis happening everywhere and animals dying off, just like all these things that like make me sad because I care about the earth probably more than like a follower of Jesus should. It's like, it's nice to be in the shoes of a follower of Jesus in that, and to say like, it's just because we're getting closer to heaven. It's happening. Like it's going to happen soon. Like, and I don't know. I'm holding on to that right now because it does, like this place, if this is all we have, it's going to really suck. You know, like if this is all we've got,
right.
Man, it is thundering and lightning outside on December 29th. Yeah. That's crazy. And it was 70 degrees today. But if this world is all we've got, then it's falling apart and it's going to end and that's really going to suck, but it's not all we've got and it's falling apart and it's going to end and it's going to be amazing. And I'm like, I don't know. It's helpful for me right now.
Yeah. There's a part that you read where it says the grasslands of the wilderness overflow. Excuse me. And the hills are clothed with gladness. Mm-hmm. That's such a beautiful phrase, that the hills are clothed with gladness, which is an emotion. Like the hills are clothed with an emotion. The hills feel glad.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, I mean, it's so poetic and so artistic and stuff like that. But the very first thing that I thought of, was one of my favorite things in the spring is when you're driving on Pellissippi Parkway and there's a couple little hills on either side about halfway through where like when the red buds start blooming and there are buttercups and then like
daffodils.
There's daffodils and red buds.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who don't know, like red buds, the blossoms are not red. They're like purple.
Mm-hmm.
They're like a kind of a periwinkle or lavender color. And the daffodils are like bright yellow on a green hillside, bright yellow flowers with these purple blossoms. And purple and yellow are the perfect complementary colors to each other on the color wheel. It's just like these colors look good together.
Mm.
And it's this, there's no other way to describe that when in the spring, when you're driving on Pellissippi Parkway, there's no other way to describe it than gladness.
Mm.
Like those hills are glad.
Mm.
They're beautiful. They're just exploding. And I love driving on that street at that time. And I love what you did with these verses that like, as the psalmist is like going on and on about how beautiful God has made a world that's falling apart, as you're saying. And yet it's nothing compared to like what he thinks of us. Like we're more valuable to him, more mm-hmm. beautiful to him, more capable of more praise, of more gladness, of more glory. That is such a cool thing. And it also like in the context of what you're saying about the world falling apart, it is so exciting to think that like, we haven't even seen a glad hillside yet. Not really. That because the whole creation is groaning as in the pains of childbirth, we don't even know how good it's going to get, how cool it's going to be, and what complementary or tertiary colors there are going to like, We don't even know the colors that we don't know yet.
Right.
And so cool. That is such an exciting thought.
I know. I've been so... This is just like a landscape nerd moment, but I've been sad the past couple of days because it's been so warm. And if there's long enough warm days this early, daffodils will come up, but then it'll get cold again.
Yeah.
So you'll lose them. And I'm like, right. don't do it. Don't get cold, guys. get cold. Like, because they need to wait till March. But like, it's just the funny
exactly,
thing.
Exactly.
Because, you know, by the beginning of next week, we may drive to Knoxville and there may be like little green shoots sticking out. And I'm like, no, stop. No, somebody needs to go tell them. It's too early, guys. It's too early. It's going to snow. It's so dumb. It's dumb that I love
you're
that
exactly
stuff.
Right. Well, guys, today's episode has been brought to you by Thomas's 26th birthday.
Yeah, health insurance. I'm about to be uninsured for a month, so nobody try to hurt me. My parents have been so gracious. They'll say, like, yeah, you can just stay on our insurance. We don't care. And, you know, from my work, my health insurance is kicking until the end of January. So I'm like, whew, yikes.
Nothing can happen to you.
Which is also another thing in How I Met Your Mother. Sorry. You got to get there, man. I don't know when the last time you watched an episode.
I'm going to get there.
That's like season 6.
Everything's fine.
Marshall basically turns into Edgar Allan Poe because he's off health insurance. He's like, death is all around us. He gets a paper cut and he like freaks out. It's so good.
It's fantastic. We're going to end today's show with a song by our friends Clark and Brian. Their version of the hymn, This Is My Father's World. Mm. And
it's... That record... charted on iTunes.
It really did.
That's pretty awesome.
It passed James Taylor for like 45 minutes.
That's pretty awesome.
It hit the number 7 spot on Singer-Songwriter.
Mm.
Which was really fun. Mm. Yeah, Southern Harmonic. Oh my gosh. Thomas
scared the mess out of me.
Thunder rolled and Thomas like almost jumped out of his chair.
Maddie's laughing somewhere right now listening to this.
Friends, thanks so much for joining us. We hope you have a wonderful 2020. And I am Lee.
And I'm Thomas.
This has been HNNU.
Thanks.
Happy birthday, Thomas.
Thanks.
This is my father's world. And to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of this is my father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hand the wonders wrought. This is my father's world. The birds their care. earth be glad.